Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening as we search for a way for the United States to have influence in the rapidly deteriorating situation in Egypt. Also, we'll talk about the guns of August. A gun bust in New York City shows how firearms can easily make it past the bans of Gotham. Texas lawmakers happy not to be pushed around by the Justice Department regarding their voting maps and voter IDs. Once rejected, now that the Supreme Court has lifted the preclearance rule, Texas wants things its own way as we continue our voting rights tour of the USA. The fast food taco takeover takeaway, more about that a little later. And what if all media networks came with a party affiliation? Would it help or hurt American politics? We'll explore what apparently is a dream of the GOP. But first, the storm of competing ideologies, the availability of weapons, the enthusiasm of regional mercenaries eager to get into a fight that is not their own, are all complicating efforts to try and influence Egypt's chaos amidst Syria's own chaos and a fragile stability, which may be overstating the case, over in Iraq. Governments facing insurgencies all around the region. And today, Egyptian security forces arrested yet another leader in the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohammed Badi. Now the three top Brotherhood leaders are in Egyptian custody, and the violence continues. Joining us is Robin Wright, distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace. She's the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, welcome back to the program.
Nice to be with you, John.
What I'd like to do is explore the what appears to me to be a crazy quilt of allegiances and support networks for Egypt and Syria, some of which are outright contradictory in the sense that one agent seems to be supporting, the same groups but on different sides. Let's start with the Gulf nations and get an idea of how Saudi Arabia, for instance, differs from the Qataris.
Well, the crisis in Egypt has divided the entire Arab world, and it's divided particularly the rich Gulf countries. You have Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait, which are all standing alongside the military, and they have jointly pledged $12 billion of aid in a pointed attempt to compensate for any loss from aid provided by the West, the United States and Europe particularly. Each country has slightly different issues, but Saudi Arabia obviously is the most powerful speaker in this troika, and it has concerns at multiple levels. First, it was never crazy about the democratic experiment in Egypt. Saudi Arabia is the most powerful monarchy probably left in the world in terms of absolute rule. It also never liked the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood took Islam and entered modern democratic politics, and that was something that was crossing the political threshold for the Saudis. And it has been outspoken in the last 3 days in challenging the West and even implying that the West was rather ignorant in understanding what was happening in Egypt and things were now being corrected.
Now, in the case of Qatar and Turkey, they're attempting to be regional interlocutors here, intermediaries, attempting to steer some sort of middle course. How's that working?
Well, Turkey is particularly interesting because it has long been a model for many of the political Islamist parties that have arisen in the Arab world over the last 2.5 years. Turkey is a very modern state, a member of NATO, but has been led for more than a decade now by an Islamist party under Prime Minister Erdogan. And Prime Minister Erdogan has been outspoken in condemning the military intervention in Egypt, as has Qatar, which is a tiny state, a little thumbprint off Saudi Arabia, but one of the most powerful countries in the world because of its extraordinary oil and gas resources.
If we look at Saudi Arabia closely, we see that they are supporting the military on the Egyptian side in a fight against Islamist forces on the streets of Cairo and elsewhere. Yet over in Syria, it seems that they are supporting Islamist forces that are fighting Bashar al-Assad in Syria for reasons that seem to be mostly related to the fact that Bashar al-Assad is a member of an Alawi Shiite minority that is ruling that country, and the Saudis are Sunni. Is that how you see it?
Well, if you thought the Middle East was confusing before, try it these days. You're absolutely right. This is an array of divisions that I have never witnessed in covering 40 years of the Middle East. And you've correctly identified the fact that the Saudis are not supporting an autocratic rule in Syria. Now, this is a huge division that has to do with sectarian interests as well. And that's where Saudi Arabia, a Sunni, predominantly Sunni country ruled by a Sunni monarchy, wants to see the Sunni majority in Syria do better. And so it has used its money to support the opposition. And that has less to do with political systems than it has to do with sectarian interests.
Would you say that Turkey and Qatar are supporting the Islamist movements in Egypt out of a pure sense of supporting Sharia law, that sort of ideology? Or is it simply more a democratic ideology in the sense that these are the elected groups in Egypt and they want to support them for that reason?
Well, I think the interests are different with every country. But Turkey thought that Egypt was beginning in some ways, not always, but in some ways, to kind of mirror its own experiment and that transformation that opened up the political space to all parties and in which a kind of middle-of-the-road Islamist party was offering a viable alternative. Qatar has been trying to be a regional player, and that's why, even though it's a small country, it's played a particularly important role in both Syria and Egypt. So all of these conflicts play out at lots of different levels.
Do you think you'll see it play out as Al Jazeera America launches from Qatar, goes on the air today, and attempts to cover this story without disclosing Qatari interests?
I have no idea what Al Jazeera is planning to do, but it's interesting that the Middle East, you know, once talked about having an Arab nation or an Arab brotherhood, that there was unity among the Arab world. And it is more split than I have seen any time since many of these countries became independent after World War II.
Robin Wright, distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace. She's the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, thanks so much.
Thank you.